There's that magic sound, that coffee pour, your first cup of Dunkin' Donuts hot black coffee all the way to the top where you can just put it under your nose and let that steam rise and wake you up. It's a time, it was 70 degrees this morning, but that's cool enough, finally, to put that under. When you get up and it's 95 degrees, just it's not the same thing. But we're getting down in the 70s in the morning below the rim here in Arizona, up in the mountain country. It's been that way for a couple weeks longer. There's just something nice about that crisp fall air coming, and it is time to plant those vegetable gardens. In fact, that's why they have the Fall Garden Clinic going on today at Harper's Nursery, where Jay Harper is at a Scottsdale location. He'll be calling in here in a little bit, talking about what you can learn at Harper's Nursery and Landscaping today, as well as the Iris Society sale going on at Harper's Nursery today in the Home Improvement Hour, coming up at 9 and 10 o'clock. We're going to wrap up a three-week series we've been doing on flooring. We covered wood, we've covered carpet, now today we're covering tiles. So with that said, we bring it into the Landscape Hour, talking hardscapes in the backyard. And to do that, we brought in Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping right here to the Rosie on the House radio broadcast. I'm Romy Romero. Your host, Rosie, is not having any fun today whatsoever. They drove he and sweet Jennifer up to Sedona. They're going to put them in Sanderson Tom cars and go through a four-hour white-knuckled, bone-crunching, dirt-breathing Tom Car Desert Romp. And that is their morning today. So we may hear from Rosie at about 60 miles an hour flying off a dune in Sedona on a cell phone. But I would highly doubt that after about 10 seconds into their excursion this morning, he's going to remember to call in. So we may or may not hear from him, but we wish him a safe and fun adventure with our good friends at Sanderson Ford, taking him on a little Tom Car outdoor rampage. He works hard. He deserves a day off. So today, we're available for your calls in the garden at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, and bringing us our weekly landscape tip is, again, Think Green Irrigation. We have John Reap, also known as nicknamed the Mountain due to his monstrous size. He's got hands that are bigger than I think any the other two of us here combined. And owner Bill Jenkins, the founder of Think Green Irrigation. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Talking hardscapes this morning. In the outdoor living space, you have a lot of options.
Lots of options.
Sauteel was popular for a long time. Flagstone was popular, although I was never a fan of Flagstone because they always called us to clean it or demo it because it's very porous and very stainable. But there's been some applications where it's absolutely beautiful. Pavers have come a long way. Talk to me about your hardscape of choice when we're putting it on a surface.
Right now, the most popular thing that we're finding is natural stone pavers. Pavers that have been basically man-made from natural stones such as travertine or some of the other types of stone that are out there, even man-made products that look like stone.
Bill?
I still prefer concrete pavers. I think they're versatile and they're economical, long-lasting. They come in so many different sizes and shapes and colors and patterns. You can do so much with them. I'm a paver person.
And with everything starts with design. So we're standing at our back door. We've got our cup of coffee, still enjoying that steam, not quite cool enough to take a sip yet, unless you got a callous mouth because, you're not the patient type that can wait for it to cool off. And we're looking at our backyard. Let's give it what's fair, 60-foot depth?
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good-sized backyard today. You're going to look, and how do you want to use the yard?
Yeah, use the space.
Yeah, the hardscapes are going to, they're like almost forever. You know, it's the one thing in your yard that you're not going to change seasonally or even every couple of years. The hardscapes are not necessarily 100% permanent because we change them all the time, but it's not something that, from a cost perspective, that you're going to, you're going to think twice before. I mean, you want to have a good plan when you put down those hardscapes.
When you're planning the landscape, I think the hardscape's one of the most important things you need to get right. It's one of the first things you want to plan for and do, and it drives everything else in the landscape. The use of space, creating different destinations in the yard, considering exposure, which way's west, shade, Nice to have some covered patio, some uncovered patio, and the hardscape design just takes everything into consideration. The rest of it flushes out naturally.
Universal design is pretty much an impossible concept to grasp. It's just not a, you know, people don't live in the same house their entire life anymore like they may have in the past. But let's start young. Let's say we're a mid-30s couple kids, and we are going to plan to stay here for the rest of our life. When you're talking design and how you're going to use it, obviously there's going to be a lot of different functions over the next couple decades in that backyard. So what are all the things we need to put into consideration that if we're going to get this done once and right, and that's the great thing about hardscapes, you know, they will be there 60, 80, especially your concrete pavers, 150 years from now. The only thing you see left from ruins are the stone.
Right, that's right.
And we have a lot better stone than they did then.
I feel that again, the use of space and, you know, how are you going to use it? If you've got young kids, you're probably going to want to have a big play area. It might even involve some turf, and you might have some hardscapes, a covered patio, maybe a little side patio. But then as the use of the yard gets to be more of an adult use, we might want to have some separate destinations, maybe a fire pit, maybe a sitting area with a fireplace, maybe a place to put a spa, maybe just a destination, a little garden spot in the garden where you can sit and enjoy the landscape around you.
Now, hardscape doesn't necessarily mean no color or no planting. It's
not at all. And I mean, even things such as artificial turf is actually considered a hardscape, mainly because you're not watering it. You can put a patio set, table and chairs out on it. It's firm. It's actually prepared the same way that you would do for pavers. So it's a good solid surface, and it's colorful. All your pavers, concrete pavers, I mean, my gosh, the selection of colors out there is
textures.
Yeah, it's getting mind-boggling. If you haven't been to a Bellegarde showroom or something like that, you have no idea what's actually out there.
And in addition to color with these materials, I mean, there's also plenty of things we can do to incorporate growth of plants, of flowers, of vegetables, of trees. I mean, it doesn't exclude, hardscape and xeriscape doesn't exclude plant life.
No.
No, it's just, again, developing the traffic patterns, the use of space, considering drainage and grading, of course. And then you landscape around those hardscapes to make them inviting. You might have a little tropical area. You might have a little cactus garden or some succulents in one area. It's all, how do you want to use that space? Who's going to be using it and for what purpose?
So if you'd like to talk through those things and you have an idea of what you'd like to transform your backyard, your outdoor living area into, we have the gentlemen in studio to do that, Bill Jenkins and John Reap of Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. No matter where in the great state of Arizona you're listening, that is your toll-free universal number to reach our headquarters. Ted, good morning. Welcome to the program. Tell us about your backyard.
Well, I'm a renter. I live in an apartment. I had a question about stone walls. I used to live in New England where stone walls are common in people's yards. But along 19th Avenue between Bethany and Northern, the city of Phoenix has erected miles of stone walls on both sides of 19th Avenue in preparation for the light rail expansion. And my question is, how do they get the uniform color of the stones in the rock wall? They all appear to be a rusty brown color. They're in the...
He had to go. Okay. But I do know what he's talking about. In fact, last time we were at the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show at the State Fairgrounds, which is coming up next weekend, by the way, if you haven't heard, although I don't know how you can't hear. But it's at the fairgrounds, and last time we were at the fairgrounds, a gentleman called in and asked about that. Do y'all know the wall he's talking about?
Yes, the gabions.
Okay.
Right, wire cage full of rocks.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful wall.
Yeah. You're not going to have an easy time of finding those locally in town. There's a couple of people that we have custom make stuff for us. We've done quite a few of them here in town, and now that we actually have a source. Yeah, you can actually just get the wire cage, and then you can go pick out the rock that you want and get a very uniform, consistent type of look to it.
And it's just selection of the rock product itself to get that texture and color that you want, different sizes, different colors. I don't know that you would actually try to color them. Just get the right material.
And I think what he was asking is, did they color them? And no, they didn't. That's just where the rock was mined.
Right.
And like you said, locally, I'm not sure where they came from. But we had that conversation with the caller on the air, and 20 minutes later, a truck pulled up, Arizona Stone, and he came out and he had the rock. And he said, we supplied that. Here's the brand and the model and everything. I cannot remember the gentleman's name. I know he's a very faithful listener, and I told him I wouldn't forget his name, but I did. I'm sorry. I'm horrible with names. And it was a beautiful rock, and it's a beautiful design. And for – we'll paint a picture of, you know, if you haven't been in that area in Phoenix, and, I mean, even if you have, you're driving on the 17. If you're in that area, you're probably not doing a whole lot of gazing. It is rebar. I mean, I haven't seen this one specifically, but I've seen a lot of some. They take rebar, and they do a finish on the rebar to kind of rust it and give it an old-world look, because that black rebar just doesn't do a whole lot aesthetically.
Right.
So they give it a little rust color, and they, you know, they just make a wall-shaped cage, and then they pour and backfill it with this beautiful rust rock that he was talking about. But as y'all were saying, you pick out whatever kind of rock you want. There is an area of town, kind of the north central western or eastern part of Phoenix, like 51 and Shea. When you look at the stonework and a lot of those homes and the surrounding fireplaces, it's all the same stone. You know where that stone came from? Squaw Peak, when they demoed it to put the the valley to there. So they took all that rock and they were using it for fireplace surroundings. So it's a beautiful look.
It's very artistic.
I can't imagine it being cheap.
It's not. and then some of this, too, depends on how the look that you want, the finished look. So if you want a nice, smooth wall shape, there's actually a lot of bit of work in hand setting those.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.